Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is taken from a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 53, Episode 38, is entitled Determinism versus Free Will, The Genetic Code.
Stephen Hawking, in his book The Grand Design, offered the following argument.
Recent experiments in neuroscience support the view that it is our physical brain, following the known laws of science, that determines our actions and not some agency that exists outside those laws. For example, a study of patients undergoing awake brain surgery found that by electrically stimulating the appropriate region of the brain, one could create in the patient the desire to move the hand, arm, or foot, or to move the lips and talk.
I shall address Mr. Hawking's argument on two levels. Level one, I accuse Mr. Hawking of fudging when he said, quote, a study of patients undergoing awake brain surgery found that by electrically stimulating the appropriate regions of the brain, one could create in the patient the desire to move the hand, arm, or foot, or to move the lips and talk, unquote. Scientists cannot possibly know that artificially stimulated movements stem from desire. When a doctor taps your knee gently with a mallet, the leg responds, but not because of desire. The movement is involuntary. You have no control. It would be the same if it were an electronic stimulation. Where does desire come from? Naturally, Mr. Hawking assumes desire comes from the physical body, but that is not possible. A frog leg severed from the frog will jump out of a frying pan. Are we to assume the frog leg had the desire to jump out of the frying pan? Involuntary responses are not acts of desire. They are mechanical responses. As scientists love to point out, the body is a physical or biological machine. What they fail to say is that life is in the spirit, not in the body. When the spirit leaves the body dies. Level 2. Desire is a spiritual thing, not a temporal. The physical body may respond to the passion of love, but the body does not feel love. The primary fallacy of science in claiming that man is a machine or robot or animal is that science assumes there is no immortal soul that gives life to the body. The body may be stimulated to respond. That is the great value of having a physical body. But the body does not feel desire or love or passion. That is reserved for the soul or spirit. As Descartes said, we have both a body and a spirit, which Mr. Hawking denies. Again, let's examine Hawking's own words.
Descartes, for instance, in order to preserve the idea of free will, asserted that the human mind was something different from the physical world and did not follow its laws. In his view, a person consists of two ingredients, a body and a soul. Bodies are nothing but ordinary machines, but the soul is not subject to scientific law.
The differences between Descartes and Hawking are rather simple. Descartes believed in God. Hawking did not. In the scientific mind, we are animated zombies, automatically responding to our environment. From that, Mr. Hawking concludes,
it is hard to imagine how free will can operate if our behavior is determined by physical law, so it seems that we are no more than biological machines and that free will is just an illusion.
I agree with Mr. Hawking that the physical body is like a sophisticated biological machine. That is the genius of the physical body. It gives flesh to desire. It gives the human experience to spiritual emotions, such as altruism. The body, by necessity, is wired to respond to stimuli, such as the genetic code. However, free will, by necessity, resides only in the spirit. Unquestionably, the spirit is subject to the flesh, and experience shows that many subordinate the desires of the spirit to the wants of the flesh, which sometimes leads to self-destruction, as demonstrated in addictions. The physical body cannot overcome an addiction, but the spirit can. The spirit feels desires, but the spirit does not have chemical addictions. That is the role of the physical body. The battle between the natural man and the spiritual man is a primary force in determining man's behavior. Biologists who are atheists love to use the genetic code as proof that we do not have free will. Some, as articulated by Richard Dawkins, use the genetic code as proof that God does not exist. It is the same kind of argument that Mr. Hawking uses against free will. It also has the same fallacy. Scientists who are atheists tend to use the genetic code as proof that God does not exist and that free will does not exist. On the other hand, Christians who are scientists use the genetic code as an argument for intelligent design. The genetic code is a very powerful argument for intelligent design. Without the genetic code, there would not be life on Earth or anywhere else. The genetic code is the most sophisticated information system ever discovered by science. It could only be created by intelligent design. First of all, I totally agree with science that there must be a gene for every human behavior, even altruism. Descartes was right. The human body is a machine. Life is in the spirit, not the body. I do disagree with Descartes on one issue. Again, let's quote Mr. Hawking.
Descartes, for instance, in order to preserve the idea of free will, asserted that the human mind was something different from the physical world and did not follow its laws.
The brain, like the rest of the body, is physical, not spiritual. Without the spirit, the brain, along with the rest of the body, dies. The spirit never dies. The disagreement is mostly in language, not intent. Again, I quote Mr. Hawking.
Descartes was very interested in anatomy and physiology, and regarded a tiny organ in the center of the brain called the pineal gland as the principal seat of the soul. That gland, he believed, was the place where our thoughts are formed, the wellspring of our free will.
The body must, by definition, be comprised of all biological components, including the brain. That is all part of the biological machine. Everything must be made of matter. It follows then that the soul or spirit is made of finer matter that cannot be detected by human instruments, nor is it subject to temporal laws. As a result, we call it spiritual matter, though it is matter nevertheless. It is subject only to spiritual laws. We may assume then that every cell in the physical body is permeated by the spirit. That is what gives life to the body. The spirit is clearly intact, however, for when the body dies, the spirit lives on and has the shape and form of the physical body. The body does not have life in itself. When the spirit leaves, the body dies and returns to what David called the dust of death. Our intelligence, which cannot be created or destroyed, is also in the spirit, not in the brain. Our intelligence is to our spirit what our brain is to our body. The spirit gives us consciousness. The brain communicates the desires of the spirit to the rest of the physical body. How that happens, only God knows. All physical responses come from the body. Consciousness comes only from the spirit. The spirit thinks, not the brain. The brain responds to the spirit, and the rest of the body responds to the brain. Life, consciousness, intelligence, free will are all in the spirit. The body and spirit are so integrated, they act as one. We often refer to someone as losing consciousness. In a physical sense, that is true, insomuch as the body sometimes loses the ability to respond to the brain, and the brain loses the ability to communicate to the body. That is the price of mortality. Linda and I have a son who suffered a stroke while on a 6-foot ladder. As a result of the fall, he lost all of his short-term memory. He maintains a fantastic memory of the skills he learned in the past, but cannot tell you where he was 5 minutes ago. The malfunction is in the brain, not in the spirit. Though we pray daily for a miracle, perhaps the avenue will be some wonderful scientific breakthrough. We know that the spirit never forgets, and one day, whether in this life or the next, he will be whole again. Because of the fall, our son also lost his hearing. That too was caused by a malfunction of the physical body, not a malfunction of the spirit. It was restored through cochlear implants. His personality is intact. His sense of humor is intact. His intelligence is intact, but not his short-term memory. We may all suffer involuntary memory loss. However, in a spiritual sense, we lose nothing. The spirit never loses consciousness, not even in death. The physical body may malfunction and not respond to the spirit, but the spirit never malfunctions. Even physical death has no impact on the spirit, which carries memory, life, intelligence, and consciousness beyond the grave. Imperfect physical matter forgets, and information can be erased, much like a hard drive in a computer. Perfect spiritual matter has perfect control over information. All living things have a form of consciousness, or they would not be living things. Obviously, it is incredibly primitive in some forms of life, but it still exists. There can be no life in anything without the spirit. In other words, every living thing has a spirit. In the Christian perspective, life is defined as the spirit entering the body, and death is defined as the spirit leaving the body. In the resurrection, the spirit and body are reunited, never to be separated again. At that time, there will be no distinction between the spiritual and temporal, for everything will be spiritual. We do not know, of course, how the spirit communicates with the body, but it is both spiritual and physical. The physical body, not having life in itself, must have a sophisticated communication system. The flesh responds to that system. One of the great arguments for free will is the genetic code, because through that code, the spirit can communicate with the brain, and the brain can communicate with the body and get the desired response. In other words, because we have genes such as a gene for altruism does not mean that we are altruistic. It means that we have the potential of being altruistic. So it is with all other genes in the genetic code. The more genes we have, the greater is our free will in the flesh. Therefore, the more genes we have, the greater our ability to respond to the desires of the spirit. The war in heaven was fought over free will. Lucifer wanted power and control. Christ offered to sacrifice his life that we may have free will and agency. The purpose of every law of God is to increase our free will, agency, liberty, and freedom. Everything God does is governed by law. Spiritual things are governed by spiritual law, and temporal things are governed by temporal law. Science ingeniously understands temporal law, but science cannot comprehend spiritual law, for it is not subject to their instruments. There can be no doubt that the physical body has a gene for every command the body can obey. Without that gene, the physical body could not respond. However, the difference is, free will is not in the body. Free will is not in the genes. Free will is in the spirit, which uses those genes to carry out the desires of the soul. The entire body, speaking of the mortal body, is engineered to give us maximum free will. Science is correct in its scientific discoveries. But science is wrong in its interpretation regarding intelligent design, the existence of God, or free will. Because we have a gene for altruism does not mean we must be altruistic. It means we have a choice whether to be altruistic or not. First, we must distinguish between behavior that is automatic, such as breathing or pumping of blood or sweat and so on, and that which is behavioral, such as choosing good over evil or evil over good. The physical body has needs, but only the spirit has desires. To have free will, we must understand law, temporal and spiritual. To have freedom, we must understand temporal law. To have agency, we must understand spiritual law. To have liberty, we must have man-made laws that are in harmony with the laws of God.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.